Thank you, Ingrid, for that beautiful music. So special. It is good to listen to the chatter. It is good to listen to the music. It is good to be in God's house this morning. This is Memorial Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. And to be quite honest with you, I had terrible times preparing for worship leading this Sunday morning. How do you lead into Memorial Sunday? How do you remember those from our midst and related that have passed on, that doesn't minimize it, that allows us to remember well those that have moved on, that have gone up to heaven to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But I thank you for coming this morning. I thank you for what God is doing in our midst and will continue to do in our midst through each and every one of you. And may our eyes be open to Him creating newness in us. We'll take a look at some of the announcements. Reminder that there's deacon nominations coming up just in a few minutes. We will be handing out little slips of paper and ballots, I should call them, not bulletins, and writing stuff. So as you prepare and have prepared for that, if there's anybody that wants to make some announcement or needs some announcement, come on up, Jimmy.
Okay, I was looking around trying to find all the parents of the young kids, and I think a lot of us are missing. But it is good to see you guys all here today on time for church here on time. So, on a side note, Sunday school practice for Christmas is actually starting, and so we would also like to see your children on time on Sunday for Sunday school. So if you guys can make sure that kids are here for 9:15, or if you want to go wild and do 9:10, then we can get started and we can give you guys a really great show come that Sunday school program. So Sunday school starts at 9:15. We're singing at 9:15. So 9:13, I look forward to saying good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here for my weekly report on Katrina. She's doing great. She is still at the hospital in Winnipeg and recovering, and it's all going very smoothly, going very well. And she says, so many prayers have been answered. Praise the Lord. There's been so many excellent things happening. But she says, please don't stop praying, because it is a crazy long road of recovery. And when you're sitting in that hospital bed and you are staring at the ceiling and thinking, how many days do I have to be here? It's a little overwhelming. So please continue to pray for healing, quick healing, easy recovery. I know her left leg is still not quite as good as they want it to be, so more strength and healing, mobility for her left leg. She got a brace to help with mobility and stuff like that, but she would love to not have to use a brace. So just keep healing, keep praying for healing, and they don't have a specific date that she can leave yet. She really would like that, so pray that the doctors could give her a specific discharge date. And just pray that the tumor would go away, because God can do miracles, and we believe that He can. So even though it might not be gone right now, pray that He will just take that thing out of her back, and doctors can look at her and say, what on earth is happening? We don't understand. That would be amazing. So keep praying for that. Side note, second piece of information would be, pray for my family. This week we got super exciting, crazy news. My sister Lisa and husband and children have just been accepted to work as missionaries in the Dominican. So they are going to be moving to the Dominican for a 3-year term in July. They are moving in July. They are starting staff training for a school there. It's an expeditionary learning school, so they do a lot of hands-on stuff. There's positions for both Matt and Lisa, which is super exciting. There's care for their kids. And everyone, it's a lot of mixed emotions for me and Mom and the family. super exciting. They've both, Matt and Lisa, have both been dreaming of something like this for a very long time. So pray for our family and all the decisions and craziness that's going on there. Thanks.
Thank you. I think this men's Sunday school class that has been going, led by Seth and Kevin, has been an incredible adventure. I have not been able to attend one of them because of teaching responsibilities, but I have heard through the grapevine, and I have a fairly closely connected grapevine to that class, that it's been a very good thing for our church men. And I am excited to see what God has in store for that and what he's planning to continue and build on this. And I think there are many things in our congregation that that we've done over the years, and we've done well over the years. And as we pause on this Memorial Sunday, maybe even include some of those. What do we do as BMC? What do we do as family? What do we do as individuals that challenge us, that cause us to remember God's faithfulness, that push us out of our comfort zones, like we just heard from Matt and Lisa? I have mixed emotions with that. I'm losing him as a fellow guy at the farm, and he's a very valuable asset to us. At the same time, as a family member and as a mentor to him in some ways, I am so pleased for them, and I'm so encouraging them to go. And as we struggle with those daily realities of our connections with God, what does that look like? Do we need to give up something in order to start up something new? Do we need to set up 12 stones carried up out of the Jordan River and pile them up and say, this is what God did for us? When somebody asks you, why do you do that, Dad? Why do you do that, Grandpa? Can we stop and say, let me tell you, I've got a story behind this. There is something here. So as we remember, as we worship together, help us, Lord, to honor that which you've done in our lives. Open our hearts to receiving something new from you that you have for us. And push us out of our comfort zones to receive something new. Would you bow with me in prayer? Thank you, Father, for your incredible guidance in our lives, your incredible love and grace and mercy, for you creating us uniquely, individually, to exactly the specifications that you wanted for each one of us. You don't make mistakes when you created us or when you created your entire people. And we are here today remembering your faithfulness, remembering the examples of those that have gone before us, remembering how we need to be a support to each other, an encouragement, a source of love, as we flow the love we receive from you through us to those around us. Thank you that you are a faithful God. And as we come to you this morning as a corporate body to worship, along with all of our brothers and sisters across the entire world, we ask that this offering would become a fragrant incense to you, our Redeemer, our Lord, Jesus the Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Jake, for those words. This is what God has done for us. And there are things he is going to do for us still. And our praise is our offering. Psalm 103 starts with, praise the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, praise his holy name. Everything that is in there, and there is a lot, right? A lot in our minds, a lot in our hearts. We praise the Lord, all of it. Praise the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord. Why? Because things are peachy? No, because he is worthy. Let's stand to sing. It is good to praise the Lord. It is good to gaze upon his majesty, to proclaim his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. Oh, it is good to worship and praise the Lord. It is proclaim his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. Oh, it is good to worship and praise the Lord. In the same vein, if you want to turn to hymnal 534, go ahead and do that. The words will be up here too, but steady, his presence is steady. Great is your faithfulness. We count on his faithfulness. For praising him for his faithfulness in this last verse. Notice each one of them. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Strength for today. See, all I have needed thy hand has
I'll ask the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering and a song that you're going to come out there.
Like a river at 10.
I would ask you to rise for prayer, please. Father God, it is well with our souls through the grace of you sending your Son, Jesus the Christ, to die on the cross. It is well with our souls. We are a grateful people that you loved us enough as we were, but loved us too much as we were to leave us that way. And may we in response love you like that, a sacrificial love, as we remember what you've done for us, how you've been faithful to us, how you've filled us with your grace and your mercy and your love and your joy and your peace. In the midst, through it, and sometimes in it, our struggles and our tribulations, our questions about health and our questions about when can I get out of here, like Katrina. As we thank you for the moments where we've been able to see through and see your Son, and in those moments where we struggle to see and where we struggle to remember, remind us again of your faithfulness. Help us to be a faithful people all the days of our lives, showing the way to you, living the way to you, that a people outside of your kingdom walls may see us as having been filled with your grace, and that we would be filled with grace as we extend a hand to those outside of it. And invite them, as we speak about you, as we live for you, as we worship you, remove all the excesses, all the misgivings, all of the doubts, all of the distractions, and grant us a focus on you, our risen Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
This morning we need to take some time to look at our denominations. We value the work of our deacons. It's a vital component of ministry within our congregation, so much of what is done behind the scenes, but nevertheless, very much valued and appreciated. In the bulletin it mentions those serving as deacons currently are Gary and Carla Fair, Ray and Char Clausen, Henry and Sarah Fraze, Abe and Viola Fair, Jake and Agatha Falk. Gary and Carla have served one three-year term. They've declined the invitation to serve for another term. Abe and Viola Fair have also served one three-year term and have decided to let their name stand for a second term, and so they would be eligible to be re-elected. For this year, we are looking to fill two positions. All members currently attending and are eligible to be nominated, and we want to prayerfully consider this. All members currently attending are eligible to be nominated. I'm going to ask a few people to come and help hand out those ballots. We'll take some time to write two nominations down on your paper. As mentioned, please don't write Gary and Carla's name. They would not be standing for re-election, but Abe and Viola would, and that would constitute one nomination. If you write their names down, make sure you write the name of another nomination down as well. Papers. I have papers. Let's take some time to write this. Esther, Jerry, could you help somebody go in the balcony as well? We have pencils here. Are there any other ballots still needing to be handed in? How are we doing? I think we're good. Okay, a little more. Thank you so much for your prayerful consideration of that. Thank you. As Jake mentioned, every year the church recognizes a new year. This is the last year of the church year. Next Sunday is our first Sunday of Advent. We celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. And after Christmas, we move to the coming of the wise men, the baptism of Jesus. We spend some weeks focusing on the earthly ministry of Jesus, and shortly after, we turn our attention to the season of Lent. The 40 days prior to Easter, in which Jesus prepares to go to Jerusalem, there to be met by fierce opposition and eventual death on a cross. But the grave could not contain the Lord of life, and so we celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. Then our focus shifts to Pentecost, the emergence of the early church, its mission of being sent into all the world, until we arrive at the end of the church year. Usually it's the last or second last Sunday of November. We remember those among us who have passed away in the previous year. I'm going to ask Kathy to light the candle, please. We light this candle as a symbol of Jesus who said, "I am the light of the world." We light it to be reminded of how the light of Christ shines truth into our lives, transforming the darkness. We light it to be reminded of the light of God's presence. And each candle that we light reminds us of the light which the people that we remember brought into our lives. We light the candles in order to be reminded of the life that we remember. The light of their influence shines on in our lives. Each name on this list that we have represents a life lived in relationship with other people, a life that was precious, but now is gone. We remember and keenly feel the loss that we have experienced this past year. These people have gone on before us. They've gone on to their eternal rest, and they have ended well. We grieve, but not as those who have no hope, and we look forward to the time of meeting again. As we go through these names on our list, I invite someone who represents the family to take a candle, to light it, to place it on the holder. I would ask that we would start with the back rows first so that we have room for all the candles that need to be lit. Just give that candle a good push into the holder. It should hold. I've checked them all out. I think they should all be good. If someone is not here and able to represent the family, I'm going to get Kathy to light a candle for them. These are the names for this year. George H. Brown, 101 of Steinbach, passed away on December 4th, 2018. The brother-in-law of Paul J. and Elizabeth Peters, uncle of Ray and Corrine, Eric and Alvina, Norman Peters, and their families. Elma Peters, Nie Friesen, 89 of Winkler, passed away on December 5th, 2018. She's the widow of the late Reverend Daniel Peters. Russell Wade Friesen, 38 of Winkler, passed away December 22nd, 2018. He's the nephew of Eleanor and Ken Fair, cousin of Carissa and Justin Falk, Dana and Jermaine Wall, Kelly and Evan Giesbrich, and their families. Betty Thiessen, 82, of Winkler, formerly of Schoenwiese, passed away December 31st, 2018. Cousin of Larry and Helena Falk, John G. and Esther Falk, and their families. Jacob P. Siemens, 87, of Steinbach, passed away January 2nd, 2019. He's the brother-in-law of Margaret Dick. She has three members of her family this past year that have passed away. I'd like to read all three at the same time. So if you go down to number 13, I would also like to read Werner Bergen, 67, of Peterborough, Ontario, passed away on March 15th, 2019. He's the nephew of Margaret Dick. And if you turn your page over to number 31, George Brown, 84, of Winkler, passed away August 8th, 2019. He's the brother of Margaret Dick. Back to number 6. Margaret Franz Nee Warkentine, 94, of Brandon, passed away January 10th, 2019. It's the aunt of Rudy and Kathy Franz, Ingrid and Menno Dick, Ray and Char Clausen, and their families. Eva Fair Nee Heppner, 93, of Winkler, formerly of Rosetown, passed away January 20th, 2019. It's the mother of Ken and Eleanor Fair, mother-in-law of Lynette Fair and Ben Dick, sister-in-law of Zelma Fair, grandmother of Carissa and Justin Falk, Brent and Jamie Fair, Dana and Tremaine Wall, Derek and Shannon Fair, Kelly and Evan Giesbrech, Mitch and Megan Fair and their families. She was also the aunt of Tina Thiessen, Abe and Viola Fair, Rod and Ange Fair, Scott and Connie Fair, Elma Fair, Irma and Jake Fraze, Dave and Kathy Fair, Glenn and Pat Fair, Grant and Glenda Fair, Gary and Carla Fair, Bill and Mary Fair, and their families. She was very well connected with a lot of people. Jake Neufeld, 89, of Altona, passed away January 25th, 2019. He's the father of Lynette Fair and Ben Dick, grandfather of Brent and Jamie, Derek and Shannon, Mitch and Megan, and their families. John D. Fraze, 77, of Winkler, formerly of Kronsgard, passed away January 31st, 2019. He's a brother of Henry and Sarah Fraze, uncle of Marlon and Becky Fraze and their families. Sarah Thiessen, 77, of Winkler, formerly of Schoenwiese, passed away March 1st, 2019. Cousin of Larry and Helena Falk, John G. and Esther Falk, and their families. Tim Weeb, 59, of Gretna, passed away March 14th, 2019. Husband of Marlene, father of Mike, Stephen, and Emily. Tim was a beloved teacher, the voice of Tim Sites, and friend to many MCI alumni and staff. Are there any former students of Tim who would like to light a candle for him? Is anybody here this morning? Yeah? Josh? Peter Neufeld, 87, of Morden, formerly of Gnadenthal, passed away March 15th, 2019. Father of Kelly and Gary Friesen and Audrey Nickel. Gregory David Entz, 48 of Winkler, passed away March 16, 2019. He's the grandson of the late Gigi and Tina Schrader, son of Ruth and L. Entz, son-in-law of Irman Jake Fraze, cousin of Jonathan and Julie Schrader. Jake Reimer, 64, of Horndean, formerly of Gretna, passed away March 20th, 2019. The uncle of Sarah Gerling and family. Susan Funk, Nie Wieb, 90, of Altona, formerly of Altberchtal, passed away April 24th, 2019. She's the mother of Bernie and Karen Funk. Peter Martins, 86, of Altona, former of Newhorst, passed away May 20th, 2019. Husband of Ann Martins and former deacon in our congregation. Brother-in-law of Betty Martins and uncle of Verna Martins. Victoria Zacharias, Nie Wieb, 77, of Kelowna, BC, passed away June 5th, 2019. She's the aunt of Ed and Joyce Hildebrandt, Rick and Dorothy Hildebrandt, Sandra Clausen, and their families. Kim Rempel, 61, of Cedar Lake Lodge, Manitoba, passed away June 15, 2019. She's the daughter-in-law of Bill and Tina Rempel, sister-in-law of Ken and Corey Rempel, aunt of Rochelle and Fred Lowen, and their families. Agatha Gerbrandt, Nie Dick, 86, of Winkler, formerly of Low Farm, passed away June 19th, 2019, the aunt of Corrine and Ray Peters and their family. Annie Clausen, Nie Unrah, 89, of Rosenfeld, passed away June 24th, 2019, the grandmother of Leah and Dustin Fair and their family. Margaret Giesbrech, Nie Kron, 97, of Altona, formerly of Scheinwiese, passed away June 25th, 2019. The aunt of Joe and Janet Giesbrech and their family. Thank you. David Daniel, 73 of Winnipeg, passed away July 25th, 2019. Brother-in-law of Elma Kaler. Anne Friesen, Nie Giesbrech, 87 of Winkler, formerly of Horndean, passed away August 6, 2019. The grandmother of Justin and Quinn Friesen. Chadwick, Chad Falk, 40, of Rochester, Minnesota, formerly of Carmen, passed away September 2nd, 2019. Cousin of Justin and Carissa Falk, Cody and Jamie Falk, and their families. Karen Giesbrech, Nie Friesen, 54 of Winkler, passed away September 18th, 2019. She was a much-loved music teacher in the Garden Valley School Division, conducted many choirs in her teaching years. Peter Ginter, 69 of Winkler, passed away September 28th, 2019, cousin of Eleanor and Ken Fair and their families. Adolf Beale, 86, of Grahamdale, passed away September 30th, 2019, the grandfather of Riley and Lindsay Beale. Irma Voth, 57, of Winkler, formerly of Rheinfeld, passed away October 3rd, 2019. The aunt of Fred and Rochelle Lowen and their family. Wayne Barkman, 65 of Steinbach, passed away October 12, 2019. He's the nephew of Paul J. and Elizabeth Peters, cousin of Ray and Corrine, Eric and Ovina, and Norman and their families. Frank H. Sawatsky, 93 of Steinbeck, formerly of Gretna, passed away November 11th, 2019. The uncle of Ray and Char Clausen, Ingrid and Menno Dick, and their families. He was a former minister in our congregation during the 1980s. There are a number of other empty containers for which we have candles. Are there others that somebody would like to light a candle for, that you want to remember? Someone from nearby or far away? Someone who passed away who is important to remember and light a candle for today? Thank you. That's a lot of candles. It's a lot of names. It's a lot of lives that we remember. Let's read together the prayer for the week. It'll be up on your screen. Let's read that together. O Lord, support us all the day long during this life, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, and the busy world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, in your mercy, give us safe lodging, a holy rest, and continued peace at the last, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's a very short, but I think fitting, piece of music that is applicable for this Sunday morning. It's called, Deal Gently with Thy Servants, Lord. I'm going to ask Ray, or Eric, sorry, to put that in words up on the bullet, or on the screen. It's probably not familiar, but I think by the second or third verse, it's a very simple tune. I'd like to sing it for you. Please join me as you're able, and we'll go through this song together, three verses. Gently, Lord, oh, gently lead us through this lonely vale of tears. And, O Lord, in mercy give us Thy rich grace in all our fears. In this hour of pain and anguish, in this hour when death draws near, suffer not our hearts to languish, suffer not our souls to fear. When this mortal life is ended, bid us in thine arms to rest, till by angel bands attended, we awake among the blessed. It's about to pray for a few moments of silent prayer, and then I will conclude. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we are reminded of all those whose names we have read as precious and worthy in your sight. You formed and knew them all before any of them knew you. Each of them were precious and loved among their families and friends who knew them so well. We miss them, and we grieve the loss they represent, not only today, but also into the future. And so we ask that you would guard and keep them well. We know you will take good care of them, yet we need to ask it anyway. In the same way that you keep watch over them, holding them in safe and protecting arms, we ask that you would do the same for us, we who are left for a little while longer. Lead us onward in our journey of grief with all its twists and turns. Thank you for life-giving memories, cherished ones, by which you have made a way for us to gain emotional release from our losses. Thank you that we do not travel this road alone, for your presence within and among us, and for the community of faith which surrounds us, and for the blessed hope of the resurrection, we give you our thanks. Amen.
Singing a cappella, and let's keep singing promises. He who watches over you will never slumber nor sleep from Psalm 121. The words will be up there, and I'll just start us and join me. I think we've sung it a fair bit. He who watches over you will never slumber nor sleep. He who watches over you will never slumber nor sleep. Oh, my child, lay your burden down. Lay them at my feet. He who watches over you will never slumber nor sleep. Sometimes reflection on the lives of people we've known and loved brings me to self-reflection and craving to hear God's promises again. Maybe you can relate, and that's why I chose this song. Let's just stand. Oh, heart of mine, why must you stray from one so fair? You run away, and one more time you have to pay the heaviness of needless shame. Oh, song of mine, come back home, you've been too long out on your own, and he's been there all along, watching for you down the road. So come home running, his arms are His name is Jesus. He understands. He is the answer you've been looking for. So come home running, just as you are. Oh, child of God, so dearly loved and ransomed by Savior's blood, and called by name, daughter and son, wrapped in robes of righteousness. So come home running, his arms are open wide, his name is Jesus, he understands.
Good morning. I will be reading from Psalm 61, verses 1 to 8. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows, and you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day.
Thank you, Nettie. For this morning, I was drawn back to words spoken by Philip Yancey 2 weeks after the shootings at Virginia Tech back in April 2017. I will adapt material from his presentation. It would really be nice to be able to promise a life that would be free from pain, hurt, and grief. Nice, but unrealistic. Hopeful, but impossible. And thus it is important to know that grief will ease, the pain will subside, but it doesn't ever quite completely go away. Sometimes it comes back in fierce and unexpected ways, triggered by a sound, a smell, or a fragment of memory. We need to honor the grief we feel. The pain is a way of honoring those who died. The pain is also a sign of life and love. It offers proof of life, of connection, that something or someone mattered to us. And beyond this, where do we turn for some direction with our questions and doubts and fears? We come to church, to worship. That's where we need to go, to the community of faith, to the scriptures, to its author, like Peter the disciple, who once said to Jesus in a moment of confusion and doubt, "Lord, to whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life." And when we look at the scriptures, we notice there's only one scene in which someone addresses Jesus as God, "My Lord and my God." Who said that? None other than doubting Thomas, the disciple stuck in grief, the last holdout against believing the incredible news of the resurrection. But in that tender scene where Jesus comes to Thomas, what was it that prompted the response of Thomas? Was it not the presence of the scars? "Touch my hands," Jesus told him, "touch my side." And in a flash of recognition, Thomas, he saw the wonder of Almighty God, the Lord of the universe, stooping to take on our pain. We have the only religion in all the world who has a God who bleeds. No other religion would ever dare make that assumption. That would not be called for, would be considered irreverent. God doesn't exempt himself. Our God doesn't exempt himself from pain. God joined us and showed our human condition, including its great grief, and participated in that. And Thomas recognized in that pattern the most foundational truth of the universe, that God is love. To love also carries with it the possibility of hurt and grief. Pain is a mark of life. Jesus responded to the tragedies of his day with compassion, which simply means to suffer with. He responded with comfort and healing, but he also, with tears on his face and a broken heart and a beat-up body, stretched out his nail-pierced hands upon a very cruel cross. It's ironic that we remember the day not as Dark Friday or Disaster Friday or Tragic Friday, but as Good Friday. In 2006, reporters from every major country surrounded the hills of Pennsylvania following the deadly shootings at the Amish school near Nickel Mines. They came to report on evil and instead ended up reporting on the church. The Amish were not asking, "Where is God when it hurts?" They knew where God was. With their long history of persecution, the Amish weren't for a minute surprised by an outbreak of evil. So they rallied together. They embraced the killer's family. They ministered to each other. And they healed wounds by relying on a community's sense of community strengthened over centuries. Was it ever easy or painless? By no means. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, and so are those who hunger and thirst, and so are those who mourn, and so are those who persecuted. Jesus voluntarily embraced every one of those hurts, and the Amish said they were simply following his lead. That's what you do. That's how you live. That's what you believe. You still remember the presentation that Maria Monville, who is now remarried, but Charlie Roberts' wife, when she spoke in Winkler, and a copy of her book, One Light Still Shines, fascinating account, powerful presentation. Philip Yancey writes that in 2007, he was driving on a winding, curvy road in Colorado, and suddenly he missed a curve, and my Ford Explorer slipped off the pavement, started tumbling side by side and rolling over at 60 miles an hour. An ambulance appeared, and I spent the next 7 hours strapped to a bodyboard with duct tape across my head to keep it from moving. A CAT scan showed that a vertebrae high in my neck had been shattered, and sharp bone fragments were poking out next to a major artery. The hospital had a jet to fly me to Denver for emergency surgery. I had one arm free with a cell phone. I had a little bit of battery left. And so I spent those tense hours calling people close to me, knowing it might be the last time I would ever hear their voice. It was this oddest sensation that I've ever had, he said. I was lying there helpless, aware that even though I was fully conscious, at any moment, I could be dead. Samuel Johnson said that when a man is about to be hanged, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. When you're strapped to a bodyboard after a serious accident, that also concentrates the mind. I realized how much of my life focused on trivial things, he said, and during those 7 hours, I didn't think about how many books I'd sold or published, what kind of vehicle I drove. It was actually being towed to the junkyard anyway. All that mattered boiled down to four questions. Number one, whom do I love? Number two, whom will I miss? And number three, what have I done with my life? And number four, am I ready for what's next? Just to go over those again, whom do I love? Whom will I miss? Number three, what have I done with my life? And number four, am I ready for what's next? What if we lived our life with those questions at the forefront? Our life, the decisions we make, the kind of people we are matters now, today, always. If we want to be really brief, we can say that the Christian view of the world involves three statements. The world is good, the world has fallen, and the world will be redeemed. Creation, the fall, and redemption. We know the world is good. There are good people. Good things do happen. There is laughter, surprise, and friendship, and sharing and caring. Blue skies, bright sunshine, mountains and fall colors, the list goes on. The world is good. The world has also fallen. There is disease. There's way too many school shootings. There's greed, corruption. Sin does abound seemingly endlessly at times. There's jealousy, mistrust, there's death, pain, and sorrow. This morning, the invitation is there to trust that the world will be redeemed. God has promised such a time. God has promised that even the scars we accumulate on this fallen planet will be redeemed as Jesus demonstrated to Thomas, those very same scars. There's a phrase written by author Dallas Willard which says, "For those who love God, nothing irredeemable can happen to you." Paul makes that claim in Romans 8. All things can be redeemed, can work together for good. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness, God told them. So Paul responds, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is the foundational truth of the universe. We are always invited to trust a God who can redeem what now seems unredeemable. Remember that the awful events of Good Friday led to the salvation of this world and to Easter, an echo in advance of God's bright promise to make all things new. Recall the third verse of the hymn, In the Rifted Rock I'm Resting. It says, peace which passes understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in his smiles of love I live. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. That resonates with the words of Psalm 46 and Psalm 61. You are my refuge. The psalmist is at the end of the earth, a metaphor for living at the end of one's resources. His courage and his resolve are exhausted. My heart is faint. The enemy is near. He is in trouble. Hear my cry. Oh God, listen. Listen to my prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Whenever I read that, I always have this image of a swirling mass of water which is threatening to engulf his life. It's coming up higher and higher, and yet he's saying, I have this anchor that's going to hold. It's going to hold fast, no matter how high the water comes. At all times, we need a rock that is stable, that's higher than we are, a refuge which can anchor the soul in the midst of the anxieties of life. Refuge is a metaphor for God's care and protection. It's used as a noun. It's used as a verb, both, along with similar words like fortress, stronghold, shelter, dwelling place, shade or shadow of the wings of the Lord. Lead thou me, Lord, help me reach safety, which I cannot find on my own. Notice he says, I will sing praises to your name as I pay my vows day after day. Every day he has something he commits himself to and do. Every day he is focused. Every day, one day at a time. No day is missed. That, I believe, is wise counsel for how to live in the midst of trial and loss or rejoicing. Every day, sing some, pray some, fulfill your commitments. Every day. What did the women do when Jesus was on the cross and laid in the grave? And Luke has this really interesting verse, starting with chapter, I believe it's 24. He says, on the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue, as they had always done. That's where you go. That's what you do. You sing some, you pray some, you fulfill your commitments. You do it every day. There's something we are called to believe and live out every day. Finally, you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Our lives in the church are never lived in a vacuum. We are surrounded by the gift of mentors, role models, examples. We have a goodly and a godly heritage, which is always life-giving, of those who have shown us the way, of those who have ended well. So to those that we have specifically mentioned in our memorial service today, and to all the others who come to mind, we say the following. Into your tender hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your beloved servants. Acknowledge them, we pray, as sheep of your own fold, as lambs of your own flock, as sinners of your own redeeming. Receive them into the arms of your abiding mercy, into the rest of your everlasting peace, into the glorious company of those who dwell in your light. And may your kingdom of peace come quickly. Amen. I'm invited to join in the song called In the Rifted Rock. However, it's a more literal translation from the German. There's four verses and a chorus. I would invite us to sing verse 1 and the chorus. I will read verse 2 and the chorus, then we'll sing together verse 3 and 4, the chorus each time. When I'm lonely and defenseless, my heart longs for rest and peace. Then you spread your wings of caring, with your love you cover me. Under your soft wings of mercy, my soul rests and is renewed. For you shelter me with kindness, keep me covered close to you. When I'm pressed by grief and trouble, you alone can rescue me. Refuge from all fears and worries, you, my comfort, cover me. Under your soft wings of mercy, my soul rests and is renewed. For you shelter me with kindness, keep me covered close to you. Let's sing verse 3 and 4. Confident and gently hidden, I find sweetest rest in you. Through the storms of life you hold me, Lord, your feathers cover me. Under your soft wings of mercy, my soul rests and is renewed. For you shelter me with kindness, keep me covered close to you. When I'm in life's final moments, I will not be left alone. For your loving wings will guard me, I, your child, will be at home. Under your soft wings of mercy, my soul rests and is renewed. For you shelter me with kindness, keep me covered close to you.
Let's stand for the benediction. From 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, these words. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. The Lord bless you and keep you today and always. Amen.